You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thursday, so you know what that means. It's time for the Michigan Mailbag on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. All right, let's get to it. We've got a ton of questions, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6 with a brand new profile picture. Although I feel fans wanted to hear DJ Turner's name first, it is great to hear that Jamon Green is stepping up at corner. Fans seem to roll their eyes when Michigan takes a developmental guy. And with that being said, why hasn't Michigan been able to land that five-star elite corner? Latter question first. I'm not really sure why they haven't been able to get that five-star guy. They've been close a couple times, but they still haven't. You would think that they'd be able to. I would imagine some of it has to do with the draft. But you would think, like, looking at the pass defense and everything like that, that people would be lining up to want to play for Mike Zordich. But at the same time, when you don't have your corners going any higher than round three, and then in the case of LeVert, not even getting drafted, I mean, that's hard. Ambry will probably, I would imagine, be a day two pick. He'll look really good in the combine. He'll be fine. He has enough tape where people can look at him and say pretty damn good. So there's that. And of course, fans wanted to hear DJ Turner's name first. But yes, it is great to have a guy like Jamon Green step up, because, yeah, you want to be able to see that you're developing guys. I understand, like you said, developmental guy. But you want to be able to see the development. You want to be able to see that you're bringing in guys that you see something in and you're turning them into something. Michigan's done it more with the three stars than they have with the five stars. Now, I mean, I say that, but at the same time, you keep in mind, Rashawn Gary went in the first round. Jabril Peppers went in the first round. Donovan Peoples-Jones is the outlier going in the sixth. So people act like they haven't, you know, the five stars aren't going. Like, maybe they're not looking as good on the field as people anticipate due to their own personal expectations. But they're still doing their thing. You know what I mean? And keep in mind, Jamon Green was like 360th or something overall. I don't have the exact number. I said it, I think, yesterday. It's not like he was, you know, 1,500. I mean, he was still pretty high up, just not a four-star. Let's move on. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Kind of old news, but Beeline coming back to teach a class at Michigan made me wonder which coach on the football staff would you be excited about taking a class from? Also, which non-UM coach, living or dead, would you also want to take a class from? Also, what subject matter? That's a hard one. Good question, but a hard one. As far as someone on the football staff that I'd want to take a class from, I don't think it's any question. It would be Don Brown. You can say what you will about the Ohio State game, but the dude is still got a wealth of knowledge. I mean, he's obviously been around the block for a while. I mean, he's coached baseball. Like, you know, he was coaching football and they're like, hey, we're going to want you to coach baseball. And honestly, I just want to know, like, I would want to take just a football fundamentals class, I think, from Don Brown. I want to learn football from the ground up from Don Brown, the way he sees football. Because regardless of what's happened in that Ohio State game, what he does works. I mean, he had the number one defense in the country at Boston College. So what he does works. Now, as far as non-UM coach, living or dead, I want to take a class from, what subject matter? Nick Saban, public relations. I love Nick Saban. I was so happy to be able to be in the Harbaugh-Saban press conference. Now, granted, my excitement that day was also because I was going to Disney. And so Anthony Broom from Maize and Brew and I, like, I told him, like, all right, pre-write as much as you can. We know what questions are going to be asked. Get as much done so we can just transcribe, throw them in, get articles up, get out of here, go to Disney. That said, I could not have been more excited for a press conference as I was the Harbaugh-Saban press conference. I think Saban is hilarious. I love that he's, I mean, he's like Bill Belichick, that grumpy curmudgeon. I know that he is not a public relations wizard. I want to take a class knowing his strategy. He's one of those guys that I hated for the longest time and then came to just love. Kind of like Pete Carroll when he left USC, then, you know, I started liking him when he was with the Seahawks. I'm sure there is others. Bill Belichick, I mean, he was one of them that, you know, I hated him for a while. I obviously liked Tom Brady and I rooted for the Patriots, but I couldn't stand Bill Belichick until now. I think it's when he did his, what do you want me to do, kick a field goal? I think that was the one that turned me around on that. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Based on what we've heard so far, how do you expect the defense to perform this year compared to last year? Will the pass rush be elite like in years past and aid the inexperienced secondary? I actually wrote about that today because we talked to Quiddy Pay. I do think that the pass rush is going to be elite, and I think a lot of it comes down to having a solid rotation. I think it's more having that rotation than it is necessarily having that standout. But I do think Pay and Hutchinson, from everything we've heard, I mean, you're hearing a lot of hyperbole. Chris Hutchinson said he's basically a Bosa, which I know got Ohio State fans all riled up. That's something that he told Sam Webb. I just saw the headline. I didn't, you know, obviously read it because I think it was VIP. But nonetheless, I saw all that. Quiddy Pay, I mean, you heard from Austin Gale a couple of weeks back why he's a first-round pick in Pro Football Focus's eyes. I think you've got that, and I think, you know, you're expecting a lot from your five-star in the middle in Chris Hinton, and I think that Carlo Kemp is going to be a lot better than advertised. I think he was more injured than he let on. So I think that it's going to be a solid line. I think it has that ability to be formidable, especially when you consider the way that we have seen these Michigan defensive lines usually run, with the exception essentially of last year, is having not just the solid four that start, but the guys behind them. So I'm excited that Welshoff is seemingly doing really good, mentioned again by Quiddy Pay today. And I think that there's just, you know, all those other guys, Taylor Upshaw, Luigi Villain. And I mean, even just the fact that they moved Ojabo from DN to Sam linebacker, you know, they've got a bunch of different guys working at Sam, Ben Van Sumeren. I think that this could be really fun. Now, so with that in mind, I think it could take a step upward, but it all depends on the secondary. So I'm going to give it an incomplete in the sense that I don't know how the secondary, as far as the corners look, but I think that if the defensive line can cause havoc, it's not going to matter that much. Trent Noop at Trent Noop. Do you think it's possible Chris Evans gets moved to slot wide receiver at some point with Charbonnet, Haskins are the two main backs? Not really, because I think, you know, you got Ronnie Bell, Giles Jackson, Mike Sainer still, all type slot type guys that, I mean, you can move all over. And I mean, I think he'll get some time in the slot, but I think it's one of those things where they'll find ways to be creative with it. Put him in the backfield. Is he going to, you know, get a handoff? Is he going to, you know, run? They might, you know, you might see two back sets, you know, with Charbonnet or Haskins and Evans back there. I actually, someone alluded to that. I'm trying to remember who it was. Cam Agrone alluded to that last week about they had Haskins and Evans back there at the same time. And I think that's the type of thing that you're going to see more, because you want to say, hey, we might hand it off to Haskins. We might hand it out to Evans. We might fake it to Haskins and then pass it to Evans. I think the possibilities are endless and it's amazing. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner One. When the schedule came out, it said the season would start October 23rd, 24th. Do you know which game might be on the 23rd? I'll answer that before I go to your next question. I don't. Obviously, it won't be Michigan, but I guess it could be because Minnesota, but I'm assuming that they're all actually on the 24th. I assume that that was like, hey, maybe we'll have a Friday night game, but probably not. Because they said October 23rd, 24th before they released the schedule, and then they released the schedule, and they all were October 24th. Number two, after game one, if you saw blank, you will be encouraged for the rest of the season. If you saw blank, you'll be discouraged for the rest of the season. If I see It's all to do, probably, well, let's say encouraged. I'll give you two. The passing or the offense looks like we all thought it could be last year. Just essentially, hey, guess what? You can't stop it because there's too many weapons. And Milton is accurate and can hit the long ball. I'll keep that as my encouraged. For my discouraged, I'll say if the secondary or the cornerbacks look completely lost and there's no pass rush. If they can't, if they give up 300 yards, I know they're going up against a decent passing offense, but if they give up 300 yards passing or something like that, and the pass rush isn't getting home, then I'm going to be worried. All right, we have to move on. But before we do, I got to tell you about Rock Auto. You all know about rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. I've been using it for about 8 myself. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and same for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, continuing, segment two is all of our other people who tend to ask questions but don't necessarily do it on a weekly basis, but most of these people have been doing it on a weekly basis, no particular order like the leaders and best. But I have to come up with a name for these, for the ones that are regulars but not necessarily the ones that have done it every single week. Brian Hall at 15, BS Hall 97, after Sanders still talked about the speed of the wide receiver room, do you think that not having a true go-to outside receiver won't matter that much? I think Cornelius Johnson can establish himself as that type of guy. I mean, he is right in the same mold as Nico Collins. He's 1 inch shorter at 6'3". I think that Cornelius Johnson can be that guy. But on top of it, no, I don't think not. I think that this offense will be predicated less on the traditional having the two outside guys. I think it's, I mean, look at what Penn State or even Alabama have been. When you think of some of Alabama's receivers that they've had, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, those types of guys, you don't think, man, that guy's tall. I could be wrong. I don't think any of them were really that tall, right? Like, I think they were all pretty, like, Henry Ruggs is 5'11". Jerry Jeudy is what? I mean, about the same, I believe, right? 6'1". Okay. So that's, I mean, that's about the same as like Roman Wilson, those types. Devonta Smith, I don't think he's that tall. 6'1". I mean, they've got several guys that are over 6 foot that you would expect to play. Ronnie Bell is 6 foot even. Roman Wilson is 6 foot even. Nate Shanley is 6'2". Let's see. Cornelius Johnson 6'3". Jake McCurry 6'0". So they have guys that are right around there. So I would imagine, I don't think that you need necessarily those particular types that are going to be the super tall, what have you, guys. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Theories on why Michigan under Harbaugh struggled on the road versus teams they handle at home, Wisconsin, Penn State specifically. I know I got this question again later, so I'll give you a shout out when we get there. But I think it's a couple different things. I don't think it's necessarily like one particular thing. I just think that in some of these particular years, those other teams are better. And then, you know, like you look at last year, yeah, you would have expected Michigan to be better. Shea Patterson, senior returner. But again, I'm going to point to that injury early on. Zach Charbonnet was kind of banged up. They didn't have the depth at running back at that moment. You just got John Runyon back in the offensive line. It was just kind of a bad scenario in the Wisconsin game. Penn State, they outplayed them for 2.5 quarters, but I do think that sometimes they go on the road and they come out flat. That's kind of what I've seen. I don't know why that's what happens. I know that they didn't go into that Wisconsin game thinking they were going to be great, or not thinking they were going to be bad, I should say. Shea Patterson said something to me on the field right beforehand, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, he said, they're in trouble. And that turned out to not indicate Wisconsin. But I don't think there's anything that's particularly, I mean, it's hard to play teams on the road. And I mean, they're fine against unranked teams on the road. Sometimes they might struggle a little bit early, but I mean, they went to Maryland last year and handled them with zero issues. You know, they've beaten Rutgers every time they've gone there, beaten Maryland every time they've gone there. They've won at Michigan State, even when Michigan State's ranked. I think it's just an every year type of thing. You know, things are different. Conversely, notice that Wisconsin and Penn State struggle when they come to Ann Arbor. It's just kind of how it goes. Kyle Larrabee at Larrabee underscore Kyle. With players able to play without counting a season as a season eligibility, what player, freshman or older player draft stock improvement, do you think will have the biggest impact on this season's results? And then he also asks, is this small adjustment that leads to a major game changer that we can take advantage of according to our roster? I don't know what that last one means. I'm having a hard time understanding the first one, but I don't think that the season eligibility thing this year, the only thing that I think it makes a difference in is you can try guys out for more than 4 games, right? You don't have to worry about limiting, being like, all right, we're going to get them in a little bit. Like, so I think where that helps is maybe being able to break in AJ Henning and Roman Wilson, particularly, and Blake Corum, because you can be like, all right, we can get these guys in. We don't have to worry about, you know, them losing a year. They can just go and do it. And I think they're going to need them, because without them, they don't have the kind of depth that you would want and at the wide receiver position. Blake Corum's a different scenario. You can just kind of see how it goes, get his feet wet. I think that's the biggest impact. As far as a small adjustment that leads to a major game changer, I mean, there is one that I can't mention. It's the thing that they need to fix up against Ohio State. The being less predictable thing. Brad G at GRN Scheimer. Any update on Harbaugh's contract extension? Bill Green with Buckeye Scoop did a whole show and made it seem like the fact that he is this far in his contract without an extension is a sign that there's a big disconnect. I know it's a rival source, but I did expect there would be more stability with this contract by now. I believe it expires at the end of next year. It does expire at the end of next year. They were working on it before the COVID thing, but then COVID threw a big wrench into it. And it's kind of hard to be like, all right, we're going to announce a big contract when they're cutting salaries, cutting jobs. I would imagine that once they get the stability of getting through this season and knowing how much revenue they have coming in from TV money and all of that, I think that I would imagine it will happen in the offseason. It's not an ideal situation, but that's how it's going to happen. And I think that if they didn't have a season, you would kiss him goodbye at that point. But because of everything that's going on, you can't put much stock into the fact that it hasn't happened yet. I mean, the optics would be terrible anyway. Say they're like, guess what? We locked up Harbaugh for another however long with this much money. Oh, by the way, we also laid off 21 people. It's just going to have to be a patience game. I think both sides want to come together. It'll get done. More likely than not. So just got to be patient with it. Wolverine Devotee at Wolverine Devote 1. What do you think prompted Christian Turner's opt-in? With how crowded a room we have, he must have had a feeling there would for sure be space for him before deciding return, I assume, either through Jay or Gaddis. Thoughts on how he'll fit in? Talking to Jay yesterday, it just sounds like he just wanted to be back in the fold. Recognizing that the mitigation of COVID in the program is a better case scenario than not. And it doesn't sound like he has any expectation of how he's going to fit in. As far as it sounds, he's going to like Jay said, he, you know, even if he's only playing on scout team, he's cool with that. So it's a crowded room, and it's going to be hard for him since he came back late. But that's what I think it is. Sorry, that's not a sexy answer, but that is what it is. It's Go Blue, Not Big Blue at Urban Light. Is the strength of this Michigan team the offense or defense? And can you play eruption? The strength on this team, I think it continues to be the defense until proven otherwise, except for maybe saving the last game of the regular season. But I think that this year it could be the offense, but until I see it, I have a hard time necessarily predicting it. Meanwhile, even though I think there are more issues on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you have seven starting people from last year. I did not state that eloquently. Returning. And at the same time, it just seems like we rarely see big, big issues for the Michigan defense. No matter, except for in one game. There are maybe two games a year, right? Usually the defense is mostly solid. So, and can I play eruption? I used to be able to for a very long time, very easily. And I tried to do it the other day in memory of Eddie. And I cannot get my fingers to work that fast. I only tried the intro, and I just was like, nope, I can't do it right now. I mean, I only pick up a guitar like once every year, maybe two. Sometimes I go nuts and play a lot for a couple months, but that was my first time picking up a guitar since like November-ish. So yeah, it was not easy. Zesty Zaddy at the underscore Mike B underscore show. Unpopular opinion, we need to take some cheap shots at Ohio State. They took coaches from us and recruits. If it was up to you, what coach and recruit would you poach from up under their noses to spice up the rivalry a little more? I don't know if I know the recruiting board well enough. I see whenever they get guys, but I think it's just you got to win one. I mean, they win some that have Ohio State considered. I think you need to be able to get like a Zach Harrison, right? You need to be able to get him, you know, the guy that grew up in Columbus. And they almost did. They really, truly almost did get Zach Harrison. Long, long time listeners to the show followed along with that saga. As far as what coach would I poach from them? If I could pick any coach, it would be one that I would assign him to a different position once he got to Michigan. But I would take Kerry Combs. Amazing recruiter, kind of their guru there. I mean, he wasn't there for a couple years because he went to the Titans. I would take Kerry Combs in a heartbeat because that would be the equivalent of Greg Madison going to Ohio State. The other one that I would maybe consider would probably be Larry Johnson. Keep in mind, Michigan has Ed Warner. And Ed Warner was pivotal in their national championship run. Last one of segment two, RTK at Farmer84. With Michigan lacking depth at outside receiver, do you think we'll see Eric all moved around to the outside on occasion, especially in the red zone? Seems like he has the size/athleticism to help here. Florida does this with Kyle Pitts, and he's been phenomenal. I think that's certainly possible. I think that he is a superstar in the making, based off of everything that I've heard about him. I think he's going to be have that type of potential, and I think that Michigan will have a guy that between him and Eubanks, because keep in mind, Eubanks is super athletic, more wide receiver type than tight end type as well. I think it's a great duo to have out there. And then you got Shoemaker, who's more of a typical tight end. It's just a good situation. Yeah, I think you can move them all over the place. I think that's part of the whole big speed and space. All right, we've got a ton coming up still. But I also got to tell you a little bit more about Built Bar. Here's the thing. You all of you who have tried Built Bar loved it. Obviously, I love it. I'm about to drop some money today on a box that they have that's new. For October, in order to support breast cancer awareness, they have a strawberry flavor. get a box. It's 12% off right now. But also remember, you can put in the promo code locked for locked on for 10% off of your order. But I'm about to go and get that. You can get a hoodie also for $19.99. I'm considering that. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that yet or not. But you get 12% off your entire order with when you get that. And then remember, again, the promo code locked on gives you 10% off. I'm telling you, amazing, amazing protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar. I'll let you know how the strawberry ones are. Hopefully I remember to buy this box as soon as we sign off here. But I'm super excited to give it a try. Again, BuiltBar.com, promo code locked on. Try that strawberry. Everyone says it's amazing. All right, we have so many questions left. I think all of these are first-time askers. Not all of them. Nope, there's a couple that I see. One, two that have asked questions before. But we'll start with some new blood. Ham at ham_Glasgow. UM goes to Columbus 7-0. If Michigan excels at blank, this one thing on offense, this one thing on defense, and this one thing on special teams. Well, first you need two of those three to come together, right? That's one of the things that, you know, Harbaugh's always said, you have to, in order to win a game, you need two of the three things to work to be the better than the other team. The last 2 years, Michigan's had zero of the three, right? Because in 2018, special teams gave up the big play. Last year, I mean, they were rarely on special teams, so I know it might have been a draw. Can't remember any particular special teams plays thinking back to last year. So I think with special teams, there was one. Michigan did win special teams. They had there was the one play where the guy dropped the punt, and then Michigan got the ball back. You got to win two of the three. Number one, offense. I'd say essentially the offense just needs to be similar to what it was in the first half last year. No turnovers are the big thing. Mistake-free offense that moves the ball and scores touchdowns. Defense, don't be predictable and find ways to get some stops and execute. It's more than one thing, but it is what it is. $ hail to the victors, $ at Family Man for Life 3. Is Nico coming back? Man, if I had the answer to that, I wouldn't be announcing it in the middle of a podcast. We'll all know at the same time if Nico is coming back. Again, he hasn't returned my messages. He hasn't even seen it. He seems to be staying away from social media. He retweeted a prayer earlier today, which is, I think, the first thing he's done in a while on social media. But no, he hasn't even looked at my message. I don't know what he's doing. But Mike Sainer still said that last time he talked to him, Nico was unsure of what he's going to do. So take that for what it's worth. Jacob Heminger at Heminger Jacob. Why is everyone so scared? And this is the one where I'm going to shout out. Why is everyone so scared of when Michigan plays Penn State and Wisconsin? Since 2015, Michigan is 3-2 against Penn State, outscoring them a total of 153-103. While on the other hand, Wisconsin is a complete toss-up, with Michigan being 2-2 and being outscored 76-79. Yet everyone asks like both teams will blow us out. I don't know, but I answered that a bit earlier, and I also have talked about it just about every day in the last 2 weeks. I don't understand why every other year they're great against them, and then when they go on the road, they're not as good. I couldn't tell you. Al Beckler at A. Beckler. What has happened with Nolan Rumler? Haven't heard his name mentioned. I haven't either. And that includes conversations outside of it. I don't know what's happened with him. Your guess is as good as mine. Got some work to do. People have kind of moved ahead of him. Kind of surprising because I think he was the highest rated of those guys that came in last year, right? Jackson 2 at TrueJJ32. Looks like Michigan has a lot of trap games built into the schedule. Michigan State, Indiana, Rutgers, Maryland. Which are you most worried about? Didn't get to ask last week, why do you hate Georgia so much? That rant seemed personal. I'll answer the Georgia one first. It's not personal. Georgia underachieves every single year. Given their talent and given like they almost never look the part of being that. They never look like Ohio State, for instance, right? And yet the national media slurps all over them like they have won just as much as Alabama. And it's just sickening to me. They get the benefit of the doubt in ways other teams don't. And I don't understand it. Yeah, they made it to the playoffs. They won a game. Then they lost in overtime to Alabama. Cool. I mean, that is something. Won the SEC in a year that Kerryon Johnson, they had already lost to Auburn, and then they play Auburn again on a neutral site with Kerryon Johnson out. And we act like, oh, Georgia's just amazing. And to me, it's they have more talent than any team in the country, and yet they are what? I don't know. As far as the trap games, the one I'm most worried about the most, easily Indiana. I did put Michigan State as my biggest trap game in yesterday's episode, but that's also because I'm giving a lot more deference calling Indiana not a trap game. I don't think I think it's a legitimate hard game this year. Not every year, this year. I think Indiana can be formidable. So Indiana is the one that I'm definitely most scared of those four. The other three, I think Michigan's going to win with ease. Plop. I love it. Hep plop 0409-0445. I don't love the numbers. I've convinced myself that all of U of M's wide receivers are faster versions of Desmond Howard. Should I watch the games in public or far from others? Listen, they got to prove it. But I think that they all have that type of potential. I'm more excited about this group right now, kind of being more realistic about it than when everyone was excited about the, you know, Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black. Because here's the thing. We've at least seen Giles Jackson do some things. Yeah, we've only heard of saying we're still being awesome. But we've seen flashes. Cornelius Johnson, we've seen flashes. And we know what Ronnie Bell can do. And we hear about the speed of these other guys. I think you put them all out in the field. As long as you have a quarterback that can get it to them. I mean, geez. That's all I got. I don't really know what this is. Our Hawk at Guinness Star. Who's the tallest, the fastest, and the smartest? Winking face with tongue emoji. I would say I'm not even going to answer that. Sorry. That's just too vague. Christopher at XFizz Adjunct. After hearing about the string of injuries that hampered the offense last year, should fans be more concerned that the staff can't game plan to the team's strength and limit the weaknesses? No, I think it's just aberrations and football, right? Like, some of the injuries they had going in, Peoples-Jones had his injury, Charbonnet was, you know, rehabbing, Dwumfor went in with his injury, you know, into the season. Shea's injury was just a freak thing, right? So, I think that it injuries are a part of football, but when you get especially an injury at the most important position, that's a big thing. I think what hurt the offense more than the injuries last year, though, were the fumbles. That's what set them back the most, giving away the football. So that is the thing that they need to work on the most. I'm not even going to try with the username on the last question here, but at U of M Brothers, will we see a jump in offensive production in year two of Gattis like we saw in year two of Fish? First time we've retained the same OC since 2016. I mean, I've only been saying it for the last 8 months, 9 months, 10 months. Yeah, I think you're going to. So that's all I'm going to give to it because I've been saying it for a while. All right, that'll do it for us today. We will have something to talk about tomorrow. I'm not sure what, but we'll figure it out. We're 2 weeks away, essentially. So got news coming just about every day. For the Locked On Wolverines podcast, I'm appreciative of you listening to us, especially if you listen to us daily. Make sure you follow me at Isaiah Holt. Follow the podcast at On Wolverines. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.